Really encourage you to get the CD from last Sunday and the previous Wednesday when Susie had ministered. There's some great messages to be listening to right now. Just talking about really trusting God, casting your care upon the Lord, getting your eyes off your problems and getting on to the solution, which is Jesus, and just walking in the joy that He has for us. So if I was you, I'd get those CDs and listen to them over and over until they get into your heart. And, you know, you just take time every day just to praise God, just to rejoice. But Matthew 6, verse 33 is where we ended last week. It says, this is Amplified Version, "But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble." We've been talking about stewardship. That stewardship is managing God's assets. God owns it all, including our bodies. He owns the universe, all the materials. He owns us. But He's entrusted everything to us, and we are stewards. And so we've established that fact. And so Matthew 6, especially the last half of Matthew 6, is really a chapter about stewardship. Stewardship is putting God first. It's putting God first in your life, seeking after what He thinks is important, seeking after His ways, His word. And as we do that, the other things in our life that we spend so much time worrying about are going to be taken care of. What we wear, what we drink, what we drive, what we live in, all these things that the world is so consumed with, striving after so much, and our lives, I mean, really should be just simple. What's God's plan for me today? And we don't have to have it all figured out. You know, we get so concerned about future needs. What do I need today? Ask Him for it. He'll provide what you need today. And just live in that peace and live in that joy. And you don't have to live all stressed out, because the enemy wants you focused on what's going wrong. And we need to take time to count our blessings, because we have so many things going right. If you were just to start even just going through the Word, you know, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. My spirit's been born again. My mind is being renewed. The angels of God are sent by God to serve me, to carry out the word. I have authority. I mean, who am I in Christ? I mean, you could just spend your day, first 10 minutes of your day, going through who you are in Christ. That'll just sustain you for the rest of the day. I have peace. I have joy. I'm holy. I've got the mind of Christ. I've got the wisdom of God. If I lack wisdom, ask Him for it. He'll give it to me liberally. But the enemy wants us to get us focused on all these other things, on relationships, on the things that aren't working right, get you all caught up in that. And so, how do we seek God first in our finances? How do we put God first in our finances? Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." And it's so interesting that just about every time that God that has something about giving, He has all these benefits. And we really don't need that. I mean, He doesn't always do that when He has these things for us to do. But it seems like in the giving area, anytime He mentions something about giving, He has all these promises lined up right after. I mean, in Romans chapter 10, He talks about being saved, but He doesn't go into all the promises of heaven. And it's really amazing what he does promise us for being givers. But it says to, with the first fruits, or you could say the first part of your increase. One translation says income. Everybody has income? Hopefully you have some income, something coming in. Income is money that comes to you from outside source. It says to honor God with our possessions, to honor him with our income, to honor him with our increase. Now, there's a Bible word for the first part. It's the word tithe. The word tithe. And tithe means the tenth. Tithe doesn't mean 2% or 5% or 8%. That's not what the tithe is. The tithe is 10%. Some people say, well, I'm tithing 2% or I'm tithing 4%. Well, according to the scripture, it's not accurate because that's, I mean, you may be giving that, but the tithe is the tenth. And it's to be the first part, the first tenth. Not to be the second tenth, the third tenth, the last part. A lot of people give their leftovers. And if you're a person that gives your leftovers, you probably won't have anything left to give. You probably don't give anything. And, you know, he could ask us for 50%. He could ask us for 90%. It's all his. So what's the significance of the tenth? Well, 10 is a number of completion. It means complete. And so by even giving a tenth part of that, we're really giving something that represents all that we have. And that's the significance. We're giving our best, just like God gave his best. Aren't you glad that God gave his best? And so when we bring our tithe, we're giving the best of what we have. And in God's eyes, it represents all that we have. Now, how can God do that? I mean, God has a whole different kind of economic system than we do. He looks at things in a totally different way. I mean, you remember the story about Abraham and Isaac when God commanded Abraham to sacrifice and offer Isaac. And Abraham goes through the whole process and brings him Isaac to the altar and puts him on the altar, and he raises his knife. He's going to kill his son and offer his son. It's pretty amazing. The faith. And Abraham believed that God was going to raise his son back up because he said to his servant, we're going to be coming back. So even why, I mean, what faith? Can you imagine? He's ready, the knife is raised, and God had him stop. But in God's eyes, Abraham did it. So God's got a whole different way. Remember the woman that gave the two mites, gave the two pennies? God said that, or Jesus said, he was watching. There's something about the offering, and something about what we do with money is important to God. Because there's a correlation between how we handle our money and our spirituality. There's a correlation between how we handle our money and our relationship to him. So God's watching this. He watches the offering time. It's interesting, isn't it? He's watching. Jesus was watching the offering and watching what people were giving in. And he said that the woman that gave the two pennies, she gave more than all the rest put together. See, the rest were giving leftovers. She was bringing her best. And God accounted it to her like she gave everything that she was, including herself. She gave it all. And God loves that because he's that kind of a God. He gives his all. He loved us so much that he gave his son Jesus. And he did it willingly. The Bible says it pleased him. I mean, I don't understand. I can't. I think in terms of my children, how can that please you? But he's got a bigger vision and a bigger purpose. And so the tithe is the tenth, and it's the first tenth, and it represents all that we have. The Message translation in verse 9 says this: honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. give him the first and the best. Now turn over to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. It says this, and the tithe of the land, whether it is whether of the seed of the land or of the first of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And again, it all belongs to him. But he's saying that this tithe belongs to him. Do you remember the tree in the garden that God said to Adam, don't eat of this tree, don't eat the fruit of this tree? What was he saying? God was saying, this tree belongs to me. This is holy unto me. This is set apart unto me. He didn't even go into all the reasons why not to eat the fruit. He just said, don't do it. This is mine. This is holy to me. And he's saying the same thing here about the tithe. It's not yours. It belongs to me. And so it's really a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer to, okay, and you may not even understand all the reasons, but it's dedicated to God. It belongs to him. Now, holy means set apart. It means dedicated. And again, it represents all that we have. All that we have belongs to him. The tithe represents our best. The tithe represents our life. It represents who we are. It represents our labor. It represents our time. And what you're saying when you bring the tithe, you're saying, I trust you, God, as my provider. I trust you as my source. I trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you to be able to make the 90% go much further than the 100%. It's really a supernatural thing. It's just, you know, I'm trusting you, God, with this. And it's an indication of our gratefulness of all that he gives to us and all that he provides for us. You're saying to him, I'm your son and daughter. I'm your steward. All that I have is yours. All good things come from you. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And my mom and dad used to travel with the Catholic Church teaching. They called it sacrificial giving. We don't really like that because we don't like the word sacrifice. We don't want to have to do anything, any kind of sacrifice. But they called it sacrificial giving, which was interesting. But they were really talking about tithing. And so they would travel and speak at the churches that, I mean, they never heard of this. And so it was like they were bringing in this message. Can you imagine bringing in a new message that a church has never heard? Never heard of it. And then so they would share from the scriptures, and then they would share their own personal testimony. And I watched my parents growing up, and I watched how they were before they tithed and how after they tithed, and I liked it much, much better after they tithed. As far as the peace and the provision and the difference in our home, there was a tangible difference in our home. And she would say this, that it got so much into my parents that my mom would say this, and it marked my thinking as a younger person. I mean, when she got a good parking spot at the mall, she would say, look, another tithing blessing. And she's still that way today, just a gratefulness to God for the littlest things. And she correlated her giving, her tithing, with all these good things happening to her. And so don't you think that when she brought her offering, it meant something to her? Don't you think it meant, it was more than just dropping something in the bucket, more than just my duty, something I have to do? It was a joy. It was a pleasure. It was an honor. It was just a gratefulness to God for all that he's blessed us with. And I think we need to get back to that. We've gotten into the religion of giving. And I know that our preachers have caused this, and there's such a demand on us for resources. But we got to get back to the joy of tithing, the joy of giving. Because I believe God wants to do some things, especially right now in the area of finance. But it's not a willing, a more of a willingness on his part right now. It's the way he's always been. But it's an opening of our eyes and saying, okay, what does God want to do right now? He wants to do a mighty harvest of souls in the earth. By the way, did y'all, I guess we missed Judgment Day yesterday. Those kind of things, I mean, they just damage the body of Christ. And I'm sure the person was just a good meaning person, found something in the Word, but I tell you, I mean, the world just looks at the church, just another thing that we... But anyway, talking about the tithe. You know, we got to get back to that joy of giving. I'm not letting something go. I don't have to have the crumpled up dollars and hang on to it and have it pried out of my hand. It's just a joy to give. It's just an honor. You know, this didn't happen, but let's just say that Susie's father, Ralph, he's in heaven now, but let's just say that I worked for Ralph. And Ralph said, you know, part of your employment here, you have to date my daughter. And I want my job and I want to be paid, and so I'm just going to be obedient to him and I'm going to date Susie. And so, you know, he says, take her out Friday. So I take her out Friday. And he says, take her again out again another next Friday. So I do that. And I do this for two or three Fridays. But around the fourth Friday, there's just something special about Susie, which we all know is true. And I start being with her and just enjoying her presence and all the different things about her, and I start falling for her, and finally, he doesn't have to ask me anymore. I get to take her out. I want to take her out. And that's really what's happening with tithing. You may hear about it or giving at first, and it may be an obligation. It may be just out of being obedience, but it comes when you just catch the spirit of it, and you catch what you're doing, and you realize... it's an act of worship. It's an act of gratefulness. It's my opportunity to say to God, I'm giving you my best. And I'm going to give you this, and I'll give whatever else you want. If you told me to give it all, I'd give it all. If the tithe meant 50%, I'd give 50%. Because I just trust you. I'm a believer. And every time that I give, I'm just saying, you know, God's saying, I mean, you're either going to worship God or money. He says that. Jesus says that. So obviously he knows something about the time, definitely the time that we live in, how the temptation of money to be your God and to put your trust in money. But every time I give, I just say, no, my trust is in God. He's my provider. He's my source. Thank God for my job, my employer. Thank God for all these different sources of revenue. But God is my source. And see, when you have that kind of mentality, you work differently. You go to work with just a great attitude because you don't work for any man. You work for God. And if you work for God, you ought to go over and above your job description. But no, we get all caught up in the politics and all the different things about our job, and we forget why we're there. Part of the reason we are there is to have resources to give. And then also a ministry. But no, we're all mad. We're all mad at our boss. We're all mad at what happens there. Mad at all. The enemy just keeps us all stirred up, and we totally forget why we're there. But we should be a light. We should be in the midst of all kind of problems on our job. We should be so full of joy that people look at us, what? Why are you so at peace? Because God is my source. No man is my source. Tithing is the place where we learn about giving and learn about being generous. That's where we start. That's where we learn about trusting God. Tithing is like the training wheels on the bike. It's part of our training to getting us ready to ride the bike. It's one of those things that are it's really a part of testing as well. as far as whether we're going to be entrusted with the true riches. If we can't handle the little things, I've already mentioned this, if we can't handle the little things in money, we make it so big, but it's one of the little things. If we can't handle the little things, how are we going to be entrusted with the true riches? You want to have vision? You want to have purpose in life? Start to tithe. Start to give. Start to honor God with your finances. You'll have so much vision, you won't have even time to do all the things that you have. Just all that God's showing you. So, there's a correlation between spiritual health and your giving. There's a correlation between spiritual growth and your giving. And there's a correlation between spiritual promotion and your giving. Turn over to Genesis 14. I'll show that to you. Y'all excited about this today? Excited to be in church? Excited about God? You on fire for God today? Jesus, your Lord. Genesis 14, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." And then it says, Abram, he gave him a tithe of all. And now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, and I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abram rich." God was his source. Now this is before the law. This is just led by God giving here. And he brings the tenth. Now let's look at Genesis 15, verse 1. Genesis 15, verse 1. It says, after these things. After these things. Melchizedek brought bread and wine. And it says that Jesus was in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is now the high priest. Melchizedek was a type of Jesus. Represented Jesus, represented God. And Abram brought his tithe, brought his best, brought his first part of the increase. And then so, in verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And so, Abram's obedience in following God and then in bringing the tithe opened the door for God to cut a covenant with Abraham. It opened the door for spiritual promotion. Pretty big one at that. And if you do some study, and I don't have time to get into it, it really opened the door for Jesus to come into the earth. That's another sermon. But there was a correlation between his giving and what he did with his resources as a steward in where God was taking him. Now, you've all heard of Malachi. We're going to turn to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. But before I do that, I want to give you a little background of what we're about to read. Malachi was a prophet in the days of Nehemiah. He had a message and a warning for God's people. And if you read chapters 1 and 2, he corrects them for not honoring God, not treating each other well, practicing sorcery, adultery, perjury, exploiting the weak and defenseless. So basically, he corrects them for being in rebellion against God. And so all of that leads up to this in Malachi 3, verse 7. He doesn't say to them, repent. He doesn't say, go on a fast. He doesn't say, make this journey to this holy site. He doesn't say, spend 7 days in prayer. He doesn't say, memorize these certain things. Look at what he says to do in order to get your life right with him. I mean, listen, this is Malachi 3, verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? He's correcting him. And then they're saying, well, how do we return to you? We want to return. How do we return to you? And then he answers them with this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. So here's the promises again. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there'll not be room enough to receive it. And so he says to them, and the way to return to me to get your lives right is to bring the tithe and the offering into the storehouse. If there's a correlation between your relationship with God and the strength and the health of your relationship and your giving. And I know there's been a lot of messed up things in church. I know there's been a lot of wrong motives and a lot of preaching that's off, wrong doctrine as far as preaching about giving and money. But I tell you, we have got to get back to the basics, because God's wanting to do some things in our midst. He's wanting to do some things in our church. But if we're operating with, 20% people tithing, how can we move forward in what he has for us? What's the health of our church? If we had a congregation where 80% of the people were sick, wouldn't I be doing a series on healing? If we had 80% of our marriages that were in trouble on the brink of divorce, don't you think I'd spend some time on in that area about relationships? I mean, as a pastor, as a leader of this organization, we are 4 months into this year through the end of April. I won't tell you where we're at right now, but in just a second. But we have experienced amazing growth in this church in the last year, from April of last year to now. And I don't have the exact number, but I guess I would be conservative in saying we probably added 30 families. And there's been a few people that have left the church, but not many, maybe just a handful in the last year. Just a handful of people have left the church. So if I were to tell you that we had over 30 families coming into the church in the last year, what would you say our income has gone up in the last year in comparison to the previous year? What would you say? I mean, say from January to the end of April, if we're 30, at least over 30 families, 30 families just in membership, where would we be April of this time, the last year? We are down in our giving. Down 7 or 8%. In the first 4 months of this year, in comparison to the... So I would just go ahead and say that we're sick financially. We're sick. And we need some healing. And there's all kind of reasons why I can say, why that is, but it's got to change. I think part of it is people do not know about giving, for one, so they need to be taught there. do not know. They don't understand. And so I totally understand. But then there's others that do understand, and for whatever reason, they've drawn back. They've been impacted by the recession, all the different things. There could be a lot of different reasons. But I'm just saying today, we've got to get back. And not just about Good News Church, but I'm talking about your lives. About what God has for you. And so we all have our excuses and all our reasons, but I'm just saying we got to get back to the Word. We got to get back to following the Holy Spirit. We got to get back to having a joy in our giving. And break through, because just because they're having recession in this country or in the world doesn't mean we have to have recession at Good News Church. God's got a higher economy. He's not changed in the last year. There's no recession or depression in heaven. There's unlimited resources, unlimited reservoir of financial backing in heaven. So if there's a problem, it's not on God's end. It's a problem on our end. And so we need to look at our lives and say, who do we put our trust in? Do we trust God, or are we trusting in our money? Are we looking to Him, or are we looking to the government, or are we looking to our employer, or looking to our savings account to give us trust? Because I'll just tell you, you may have $1 million in the bank, and I tell you, I wouldn't put my trust in that. Things can change in a day. Our trust needs to be in Him. Our trust needs to be in God. And so he says here, to correct this rebellion, bring the tithe. Y'all excited about this day? Now, the tithe is the tenth, but tithing is what you do with the tenth, and it's more than just dropping it in the basket. Turn to Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26. Next week we'll get into the benefits of tithing, but we don't even need to go there today. Now we're just talking about knowing about the tithe and acting upon it. Deuteronomy 26 verse 1 says, "And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you should take some of the first of all the produce of the ground. You shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is the priest in these days and say to him, I declare today to you, to the Lord your God, that I have come into the country which the Lord swore to his fathers to give us." And it goes on. And so basically what they were commanded to do was to bring the tithe and to bring it to the priest and then say something over their tithe. And so today we're going to do that for offering time today. And so what I'm going to need from you guys back there is some kind of, and Nate, I don't know if they, you may have to help, some kind of music to play at first. I still want you to come up and do a song, but I want to do some music first while we prepare our tithe and offering. And then I want us to make a confession, and then we can do a song to close things. Does that make sense? But I want us together today to prepare our offering, and I want us to actually, and if it's your tithe, I want you to actually be involved in tithing, saying something over your offering. And I hope that you'll learn and see what I'm saying here and start doing this yourself. Start doing it yourself, that to realize what this represents. It represents our heart, it represents our giving, it represents our best, and to speak over it, and that's tithing. Tithing is taking the tenth, speaking over it, and then giving it willingly and giving it cheerfully as an act of worship. It should be worship, part of our worship. All right, so what I want you to do, if you need an offering envelope for cash giving, raise your hand, or you got your the offering envelope already in your bulletin, but if you need one, you can raise your hand. Everybody, please remember to fill out the Hey, I'm Here card. But let's just take a few moments. If you're bringing your tithe, you already know what that is. But then you pray about if you want to do an offering. And then let's take some time, let's prepare it, and then I'm going to lead us in a confession. And we're going to speak words. We're going to give in faith today. We're going to give trusting God. And we're going to give with an expectancy today. And I hope that even if you're doing it out of obligation today, that one day it'll turn into the joyful part of your life. Maybe one day couples will get together, maybe Saturday night. I mean, if we would teach our kids about tithing and tithe properly, I don't think our kids would ever backslide. And they would see the honor and the reverence we have with our resources and how we give it to God, if our kids would see that. Y'all understand? So let's just take a moment. Let's play our music. Prepare your offering. Praise God. What I want you to do, and if couples, if you want to even hold hands, I want you to hold your offering and say this with me. Say this: this offering represents my life. I bring to you my best. You are my source of supply. You are my provider. I trust in you. I worship you with my offering. All that I have is yours. I am a faithful person. I am faithful in the little things. My time, my talent, and my finances. Take what I have and use it for the advancement of the kingdom, of your kingdom, for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Receive this offering, multiply it back to me, so I can be even more generous. I am blessed to be a blessing. All that I have is yours. All that you have is mine. I speak and pray these things in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Ushers, you can receive the offering, and song team, you come. And we'll just for a moment, let's just continue to worship Him. Hallelujah. Let's just give Him praise.